T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go, let's get it on. Oh, Peters!
Oh, he's got a fake. Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
And everybody pairing off at center. And now Peters starts teeing off on Emery.
The captain strikes gold.
And now, the Instigators.
Marty's here. All right. That's all we need to say. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
10 to noon. You know where to be. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Sabres will practice today with some new lines. Head to Montreal. Play tomorrow night. And old man Rivers here with a great attitude this morning. We got the new mics going here if you're watching on MSG. I like these bad boys. I like them a lot.
They're smooth.
Yeah.
Nice and out of your face.
Rivers doesn't really care. You know what? Did you have your donut this morning?
I did not have my donut. What do you mean? Why would you ask me if I had a donut
this
morning?
Because it's the donut bracket. What's the first thing you should do in the morning is test a new donut and see which one advances to the new...
No, but I'm standing at our Tim Hortons spot that we go to in the morning. At least I go to in the morning, and I know you're there every now and then. And all I could see were glazed donuts. It was the sour cream glazed, the old-fashioned glazed, the chocolate glazed, another thing glazed. Everything was glazed. So I'm curious to know, did you see the first... category of our bracket that
I
we did
voted
yesterday?
On all four you of did. Them, and I already voted on all four.
Well,
this
you can't
morning.
See who votes, so
no, and voted. I retweeted and voted on all four matchups this morning.
Okay,
and I'll tell Excellent. You this: I went straight chalk the last 2 days. The top seed has been winning every matchup in my book, so there's no upset. It's straight chalk. Number one seed goes through. Number two seed goes right through. That's the way I've done it.
Why that way? Is that how you do your
No, that's
NCAA?
Because it fell that way. That's did because I liked the higher seed better.
Did you guys do brackets for the
I did not.
March Madness? I didn't either.
So here's the funny thing. I don't know. People
I could fill out a bracket today and I still wouldn't know what the scores were.
I did watch some basketball yesterday. I watched Syracuse last night. Unfortunately, they were close and they got beat by what was it? Baylor? Was that Baylor last night?
Anyway. Might have been Baylor. I couldn't tell you.
But so my son Jacob, he had a field trip. They went to UB. On the way back on the bus, the kids are live streaming the basketball games on their phones, right? Because they're watching it. I pick him up. Oh, did you watch that game? Like, they're already into it. After three games, he's so excited. I still have the perfect bracket. I still have the perfect bracket. I'm like, dude, give it another couple of hours. Like, there's bound to be an upset or something that's not going to happen, right? So it's all about the perfect bracket on day one. If you have a perfect bracket on day one, you're in good shape. And that's what I think a lot of people around town especially are hoping for.
A lot of them bet with their hearts. So Syracuse out. Screws up a lot of people's brackets.
Absolutely. And they were the higher seed. It was an 8-9, right? So I think Syracuse was 8. So they were the higher seed. So is it considered an upset? Maybe, but 8-9 is not really an upset.
I think this is the first year ever that I have not even looked at the bracket. It's the first year. I am a big fan of... the NCAA basketball, and it's the first year. I don't even know why. I don't know why I didn't look at it.
I'd probably give you a few reasons as to why you might have missed it. Before we get into the Sabres and the line changes and stuff like that, because, you know, we have to talk about that stuff.
We have to talk about it.
Ron Burgundy was at the LA game last night.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, I saw the highlights this morning on the NHL Network. I mean, didn't sound like he was on his A game, but at least it was just... Take that, San Jose.
They
should bring him back more often because they ended up picking up a nice, 4-2 win over the San Jose Sharks, big rival of theirs. And you know what? He won.
Did you like Anchorman, though, Riv? Doesn't strike me as your kind of humor.
You have to see it five times to appreciate the moments. I watched it the first time in the movie theater. The only part that was funny was when Jack Black kicked the dog off the bridge.
Well, now this is going to happen. What do you love?
Yeah, exactly. And then he's Ron Burgundy's in the phone booth, and he's like, he punted Baxter off the bridge. I'm in a glass jar of emotion. That was the only moment in the movie I thought was funny. But then you watch it five times.
Well, let me ask you, how many times have you actually watched it?
From start to finish, probably two or three times. From like many parts, 100.
Yeah, it's on quite a bit. It's always
a
movie.
Half hour.
Like if you're surfing the channels and it's on, you put it on while you find something to really watch.
So that's why both you guys are literally walking movie quotes back and forth all day long. You don't even speak in English. It's you just talk in movie quotes.
Well, actually, the night we thought our plane was going down, Marty, we were watching a movie together coming out of New Jersey. Do you remember?
I don't remember what movie it was. I just remember. I squeezed your leg about as hard as anybody would ever squeeze you. But
Brian Campbell's yelling, I saw sparks off the wing. And we're like, no, it was your orange hair reflecting in the glass.
But here's the thing. Like, even when Will Ferrell did the introduction of the basketball team years ago, you first listen to it, you expect like comedic like genius, right? You listen to it the first time and it's like, oh, it's good. You go back and listen to it again and you can't stop laughing, because it's like it takes a little bit to get his sense of humor or what he's trying to do. You know, when the guy comes out, he goes, he still lives in his mama's basement. Like, just funny stuff, but it takes a little bit to get used to it.
Let's hear a little bit of what Ron Burgundy brought to the broadcast last night in L.A.
And we are about to begin the second period. Why don't we take it away, gentlemen, and turn down to the ice.
Yes.
You and I shared a couple of Molsons.
I only had one.
You only had one. Yep. And I had 15.
Go, Kings! Go, Kings, go! Come on, people!
You don't mind if I bite into this burrito right now, do you? Oh, my God. When does the kiss cam start?
I don't know.
It could be something like this. Kopitar with the puck. He dribbles, he skates up the ice. And shot on goal! He scores! Put that baby to bed without a diaper. For those of you at home, we've had to stop action on the ice several times. Yeah. Feral cats have run onto the ice. They killed the penalty! Yes! Just shoot! Oh, well, they don't have the puck. It's the first time I've ever been on the kiss cam. This is one of the greatest nights of my life. I got to kiss a burrito.
Will Ferrell is an absolute...
I bet to stop play many times they threw feral cats onto the ice.
He is.
And the worst part is he goes... He's trying to do the play-by-play. Kopitar, the puck, shot on goal, scores! San Jose has the puck, and in the L.A. zone, he just said whatever he wanted to. If you were on the radio, like, listening to it on the radio, you're just like,
do you care, though? I mean, it's just unreal.
He's kissing a burrito on Kiss Cam. He's talking about how he's had 15 Molsons.
Here's another one where he talks, he's busting on the Sharks a little bit. Here he goes.
Take that, San Jose. Zero Stanley Cups. Zero Stanley Cups for the San Jose Sharks. They wouldn't even know what the Stanley Cup looked like if it fell on their head.
That reminds me of
Schultze at Danny Rose, the roast of Danny Gare. So Schultze made a comment.
They won't be serving any coffee here this evening. No one has any cups or something like that.
Yeah, that's what he says.
It was pretty funny. What'd you do this morning, Riv? I mean, did you check the box scores at all? What were you looking at?
Why are you checking the box scores?
Yeah, exactly. The Sabres play last night, Riv.
Were you happy that Edmonton won last night?
Petey's setting me up.
It's good.
Petey's setting. What's that?
He hosts the show. That's good that he's setting you up.
Oh, I thought you meant it's good that the Edmonton Oilers won last night, because now they flopped over our beloved Buffalo Sabres, and we've moved one spot closer to the top five.
So you're talking higher percentages.
I mean,
you said it at the end of the show last night. You were rooting for Edmonton to win because with the situation the Sabres are in, you'd rather see them get a higher.
Not rooting against Buffalo, rooting for the other teams to pick up some wins. And, you know, right now we have 71 points. There's two teams in Anaheim and the Rangers that have 69 points. You know, I'm cheering for those other teams to have success, and I want the Sabres to continue to play. I want the Sabres to play well. There's going to be some changes to the lineup, changes to the line combinations, which is exciting. And
here's the thing:
that's where we're at.
I didn't even look at the Edmonton game as where the Sabres will be after the game. I looked at it more on the Columbus side. So Columbus is now a point out of the playoffs. And again last night, Sergei Bobrovsky, as was mentioned, Sergei Bobrovsky is on the press box. And they have Korpisalo playing net.
Is Korpisalo, that not absolutely unbelievable?
Korpisalo, his last six start is 0-5-1. I mean, this is if he's 2-3-1, they are 3 points up on Montreal, and they would be at 87. They'd be 4 points behind Pittsburgh. Listen, they'd be battling for the top three in the Metropolitan Division. So, and I know John Tortorella. I like him as a coach. I really like Torts, to be honest with you. And I know that he's trying to learn from past. When we were with the Rangers in 2012-13, the shortened season, the 48-game season, I didn't even play a game in the last month of the season. I played three of the last 25 games of the year. Why? Because we were in a playoff race, and it was going to be the king. It was going to be Henrik Lundqvist playing every game. And the only games I played the two games against the Montreal Canadiens because Hank wanted to have hot dogs during the game. That's about it. So I'm saying is, why are you saying Bob needs his rest when you're 8 games away from the end of the season? You have a game in Edmonton, and you have to win that game. And you played late that night.
Absolutely ludicrous. What is going on
here? The team already knew that Montreal won.
You run that guy. You live and die with Bobrovsky. If you do not make it, you can honestly go back. No one's going to point fingers and say, well, what were you doing here? Why did you have this goaltender in over Bobrovsky? You need every single point that you can get. I'm going to tell you right now, he should be playing Bobrovsky because he's a multiple Vezina Trophy winner. He's one of the best goaltenders in the game.
Or if Korpisalo is 4-2-2 in his last eight, you're like, hey, he's giving us results. He's 0-5-1. You cannot trust how your GM just acquired Dzingel, Duchesne, hung on to Panarin, Bobrovsky's still there. These are four pieces that may not be there next year. Probably two of them are gone for sure, and two of them is a question mark. And you're letting it hang in the balance with your backup goaltender. I you know what? I'd be the first. I'd be Larry Brooks in the scrum after. I'd be like, Torts, why are you playing Korpisalo? And Torts would be like really livid with the question, but that's what I would ask.
Instigators Andrew Peters and Craig Revay with Marty Biron here on Friday. Don't forget Darren Dreger is going to join us at 11:30. I asked Riv yesterday at the end of the show. He was talking about how he was rooting for Edmonton to win last night. So let me ask you this. Pierre LeBrun was in the news or on Twitter this morning talking about an idea from Shane Doan, who now works at the NHL Hockey Ops. Once a team is officially eliminated, motivate clubs to win by rewarding most points accumulated in the standings to end of the season with the top overall pick, a mini derby between eliminated teams to win for the pick. So, like, basically, should the NHL implement rules to prevent tanking is what he was saying. And
who's tanking?
Well, who's tanking? Well, not Ottawa, I can tell you that. They don't really have a choice.
They to prevent tanking. They have a lottery. You only get 20%, or is it even 20%? It's less than
18,
that.
18.5.
For what, number one?
For the bottom, I think it's 18.5.
18.5. It's not, yeah, it's not even 20%. There already is a rule. Now, for me, what's going to happen is teams will want to finish want to be eliminated out of the playoffs early so they can accumulate more points down the stretch, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
It doesn't make sense.
How do you sell the parity in the league and the competitive balance and how teams are fighting for playoff spots later in the year by saying, hey, as soon as you're out of a playoff, mathematically out of a playoff spot, the points you start earning will get you the first overall pick. So you're basically telling teams, if you're going to tank in November and December, be out of the race and then start accumulating points.
Exactly.
It doesn't.
I don't even understand how they can do it. Like, there's.
It's a good idea in theory, but I think that it's going to open up a lot of issues.
Well, look at it from the player standpoint. Are you going to tell players or ask players once they're eliminated from the playoffs to be more motivated to go and try and so they can get the top pick overall, which is actually going to cost one of the players on the team a job?
Let me ask you this. Have you ever played on a team that's been in the bottom, near the bottom of the league?
Yeah.
Okay. In that locker room, Marty, how many players were thinking about the first overall pick?
None. I don't even remember who drafted first overall.
None of these players, not one single solitary player is ever tanked. They don't give a crap about the number one overall pick. The media people, the fans do, the fan base does, the players don't. These guys are playing for jobs. These guys, a lot of times you see, did you watch the LA game? Did you see how loose LA was?
Yeah.
I mean, they're having fun. They have smiles on their face.
Dustin Brown slid on his stomach after
Dustin Brown, the former captain of the team, did a belly slide on the ice after one of his goals. The guys are smiling. They're having fun. They already know that they're out. So what they're going to do is they're going to collectively go in and they're going to try and take down teams. I've been on teams in that situation, and you're first and foremost, all you're trying to do is you're working for the job for next year. You're trying to solidify your place within that organization. And the biggest thing is, you're now in a situation where you want to make other teams that are in stressful situations, that are trying to make the playoffs, you're trying to make it a nightmare for them.
Well, I remember showing up to camp. So you're talking about September, and be like, who's this kid? Oh, he's our first pick this year. He was picked 12th overall. I don't even remember sitting down and watching the draft when I played. You are done. Like, you're not going to go tune into like what's going on at the end of June. You're playing the hockey. You're working out. You have your summer now. You're visiting family.
Yep.
You're not going to spend time worrying about
some 18-year-old kid that just got drafted.
Who's
I'm not
going
to sit here and lie to you that in 2004-05 when we were locked out,
that's
I remember.
Different.
I know. We had the same odds as Pittsburgh here.
Yes,
in Buffalo,
but that
Pittsburgh
was different. As Connor McDavid, not Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby. I remember driving to Ottawa. We were on our way to a wedding to Ottawa, and I had the radio on during the lottery.
I wasn't trying to prove you wrong. I was just letting you know that was the only time that I was interested because it was Sidney Crosby.
Yeah,
but
and also because we hadn't played hockey
you.
In a year. And now you're like, hey, that's the first hockey, real hockey news we get, right? Like, who's going to get the top pick and who's going to get Sidney Crosby? But you asked me, who was the Sabres' first-round pick in 2001? I have no idea. I was playing. I didn't care. Who was the first-round pick for the... The only reason I know that Trevor Van Riemsdyk was the first round pick for the Philadelphia Flyers in 2007 was because we finished last and we lost out on Patrick Kane. Chicago got him in the lottery and they got the second overall pick. But I don't recall who the teams I played for drafted in the first, second, third round. It just, you don't think about it as a player.
Yep.
So the players don't care.
So, like, I've heard some absolutely ludicrous ideas for you know, I've heard such things as like you take the four worst teams and you have like a little mini playoff for at the end of the year for the first pick overall. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, what players are gonna actually be on board with this?
None. Not one single
like,
solitary
like you
player.
You can't Nobody. Ask the players to do anything to go out and get the top pick over. Go perform. Hey, boys, especially you bottom six guys, go perform so we can go and get, what's the kid's name? Jack Hughes?
Jack Hughes.
Yeah, we get Jack
News
Hughes.
For Hughes.
And one of you is gone. You're going to be gone.
Exactly.
But listen, we will be good in a few years.
Good
do
point.
Do it.
Good point.
Do it for us.
Like
ask
guy,
not what you do for your team, or whatever the saying is.
Ask
or
what not your, what your team,
team
can
do
for
you.
You.
But what you can do for your organization.
Like, it would be better off.
Go block a shot.
Teams would be better off being, if you're out of the playoffs and you don't want teams to tank, errors for the league. Make it where they come back with segment bonus for teams that are mathematically out of the playoffs, and that will prevent them from tanking. Because if you put $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 on the board for those teams to play, they'll play hard. They'll go out and they'll do it. That's why players at the end of the year, some of them have great finish this season. Why? Contract year.
You've been great this year. You've been great this year. You've done so much for this team, and I know you need a deal, but I can't give it to you until I know if we finish last and we get Jack Hughes. So go block a big shot for me in the third, would you?
I just don't understand, who's tanking.
What, this year?
There's teams that are in rebuild mode, but every team, every great team out there has been through rebuild mode. Whether Ottawa, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins, Chicago Blackhawks, the LA Kings, the Tampa Bay Lightning were not great back in the day, and then they went through like the waves. I mean, every team has to restock the cupboard. I mean, that's just the way the game goes. Your elite players give you success, and then they get older and they move on, and you have to kind of restock the cupboard. At the Detroit Red Wings, they're not tanking. That organization's not wanting to tank. They're just not that good right now. They lost Zetterberg. They lost Datsyuk. They lost some of their great players. They just haven't replaced them yet with the players that are going to make the difference.
Ottawa beat Toronto 6-2 the other day, right? Last week.
Yeah.
They're not
tanking.
How's
that possible?
No, but they're not. They're not. The players are playing. They've got injuries, and
LA
I understand
Kings
that.
LA Kings beat the San Jose Sharks.
Absolutely.
4-2.
I mean, player teams are playing. Like, the Sabres are beating the St. Louis Blues, and St. Louis is coming in. Like,
the Anaheim Ducks right now are 6-4 in their last 10 games.
If there's one team that I would say would tank this year for that player, it would be Detroit.
Well, yeah, because it's...
But even then, they're too far ahead.
National development team. Don Fair had a... Well, I don't want to call it a good idea, but add another spin on how should you get the draft order. And of the teams that missed the playoffs, you have these criteria. Number one, you put definitely some impact with the fact that teams finish last or, the standings. Two, look at your season ticket holder and the amount of tickets you sell, your revenues, your last 5 years, points over the last 5 years. There was a formula he was thinking about, and then you get your draft order. So you can't just go out and reward a team that's tanking. And at the same time, a team may be terrible, but they're selling out at the box office. They're doing everything in the community to get the word and to get the buzz. And so there was many different criteria to be able to set up this formula for rewarding the first overall pick. And... I mean, I didn't think it was bad. I think it was a little complicated, and you want to simplify it.
Well, it's complicated now. I mean, they do the lottery balls behind a closed door. That's the only issue I have. As long as you're not rewarding a team for finishing dead last, and you are with the best odds in the lottery. So it's kind of dummy-proofed in that regard, where you can't just say a team's going to say, I'm going to lose every game and be guaranteed the number one pick.
Yeah.
But the only thing they've done, and I think they've done a good job. I really do. I like the draft lottery the way it is. The only thing that I would change for, I guess selfishly, but I think for everybody else, because I want to see the balls come out. I want to see the when you're watching
the lottery.
Powerball.
Yeah.
Just up the chute and boom.
But the GMs
is the logo
are there watching it.
I understand that, but you know what? Like,
so they don't tell you it's legit.
Too. Televise that too.
They could, and I think there's probably some. Obviously, they've got it's live, right? So, what if something broke? What if something went awry that all of a sudden you're falling, flat on your face on live television with the hockey world watching? So that's why they're doing it. But the GMs are there; they can see the ball number one popping up, and then it's a three, and they all go to their sheet and. Okay, do I have the first number three? Because they have so many combinations, and they cross them out, and then they go to the next one, and they just, keep on going.
Let's talk some Sabres here quickly. Alex Nylander going to be playing with Jack Eichel. Curious to get your thoughts on that tomorrow night in Montreal.
What are the lines, anyway?
Sherry, Eichel, Nylander. They're up on the screen. If you're listening on WGR, I'll read them to you. Saboka, Mittelstad, Reinhart is the second line. Skinner, Rodriguez, Beaumetville. And Gergensen's, Larson, and Oposo.
Okay, so that means Tage Thompson is out and Wilson is out.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
There are some changes there, but Nylander playing with Jack, I think, is interesting. Because if they were calling him up later in the year and the team were in the playoffs and Reinhart were healthy and Skinner were healthy and Jack were healthy, he's not playing with Jack. he might be getting called up to play on a different line. They're not going to shuffle the lines if that line's on fire and they're in a playoff spot. So this could be a little bit of a blessing in surprise, blessing in disguise, I should say, sorry, if he, you know, because of the fact that the team is where they are and they're able to experiment with their lines.
Yes.
Like Nylander must be happy.
I thought Phil experimented with the lines in the last game in the third period and at the end of the second, which gave the Sobolka, Mittelstadt, and Nylander, I think, were aligned at the end of the game. It moved around a lot. Now, and it was Sherry Eichel and Thompson. Now, this puzzles me a little bit because, so Tage Thompson played three shifts, I believe, in the first period against Toronto. He played, I think, five shifts in the second. First shift of the third, he has the two turnovers, two giveaways on the right wall.
Yep.
And the puck ends up in the net. So you've got Marner taking the shot. Hutton makes the save. It goes off Aristo skates and it goes in the net. And the very next shift, Thompson got elevated to the Eichel line. And I thought Tage Thompson played pretty well with Eichel for the rest of the game. And now he's out of the lineup. So I was a little surprised with that. When I first saw the report that Thompson wasn't on the line yesterday, I thought, well, maybe he's banged up. Maybe he's taking a maintenance day or whatnot. But no, it really looks like those would be your lines going into Montreal. There's always subject to change. But I was a little surprised that after a turnover early in the third period that made it 3-1, then he got elevated to the Eichel line, and now he's out of the lineup. Maybe Phil looked at it as it was an addition or a look at Thompson to play with Jack, and he didn't like the way that looked and wanted Pominville to come back in the lineup because they're going to Montreal. So you want Palmer to play because you're in Montreal, and the only guy that really you're going to take out the lineup is Thompson.
Could this be Jason Pominville's last return to Montreal as a player?
It could be, and that's why I think, like, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, so if you're going to put Pominville in the lineup, who are you taking out? You're not taking out Nylander. He's there for look. Sherry's not taken out. Reinhardt's not out. Skinner not. Oposo not. So who's the guy that you're going to take out? It's Tage Thompson. So I was a little surprised that
Sobotka.
Thompson. Well, he was just out of the lineup the other day.
So what?
I know. But, you know, you're looking at the right side right now because you're looking at the right winger.
Tage Thompson can play left.
Yeah, he can.
Would you consider Nylander play left? Well, here's a question. Before we go to break, we have to come back and do To the Point. But would you consider, at what point does Jason Botterill send Tage Thompson down to start playing with Rochester? Because he will end up there at some point anyway at the end of the year because he was sent down on paper and brought back up like right away for the playoff roster to be eligible for the Amerks. So, I mean, at some point, you know, it might be beneficial just to get him down there.
Yeah, I'm going to look at their schedule. I believe that the Rochester Americans have games after the NHL regular season ends. So I think he may be able to play a few games, but I'm just looking quickly. Their last game is April 14th. So they have 12, 13, and 14th. They actually have three games after the Sabres season ends.
Okay.
So he'll be able to go and play three games with the Amerks before starting the playoffs. So he doesn't need to go down a week early to play more games.
I'm going to tell you what, I look forward to seeing what he can do down there and hopefully be a lightning bolt for that squad and lead him. Like, Calder Cup's hard to win, but, you know, it would be nice to see him have some success. I remember Jeff Carter, he went right to Philly and
Mike Richards,
they all just went there as young kids and they
Randy
won.
Randy Jones.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of them that went from juniors to finish the season, a couple games in Philadelphia, and then down to the Phantoms, and they won the Calder Cup that year.
When we come back, we'll be doing To the Point presented by Jim's Stakeout. Find out what the Edmonton Oilers CEO had to say about one of his players and where he stands going into next season. Interesting stuff coming up right here on the Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back. So let's just get one thing clear here first. Parking spots and availability out front are limited with all the construction. So Riv and I have had to try to be kind of creative to get closer to the building.
You're completely fine.
I'm good.
You're good.
Thank you. I'm good. And I thought I left enough space because I am tight to the shed
the cabana,
over there.
Yeah.
I am really tight. So, I mean, if I had a passenger in my door or in my car, they wouldn't have been able to get out.
Okay. They're climbing out the driver's side.
Yes.
Why'd you do that? Why'd you park so close?
Because I wanted to leave room for the other 50%. For you. I left spots for you.
Darn right.
Yeah, I did.
I parked in that spot.
Because I could have been the guy in the white pickup truck who didn't care, who literally parked laterally across three spots.
Let me ask you this.
I went and put a note on his car this morning. I said, what makes you think you can park like this? And I
did you?
Yes, I did.
I am so thankful you did. Because
these guys park
he's
like...
He's not the only one.
If you guys are listening because you got your radios on... Park in between the yellow lines, okay? I don't care how big your truck is, how big bad you are. Park them right in there. We can all do it.
Jay McKee had the biggest truck ever, right? He had the semi.
International CXT. Check this thing out.
It was a CXT semi or something.
So we went
downtown one year to go to dinner, and I jumped in with his truck. The guy, the parking outside of, like, whatever, Delaware, is like, it's going to be $30. And Jay is like, it's 10. He goes, no, you're bigger, $30. He goes, watch me. He pulls it between the yellow lines, gets out. He goes, here's 10 bucks. Like, he goes, my car fits between the yellow lines. So if Jay McKee can park his semi-truck between yellow lines, everybody should.
Yeah. I got an F-350 big wheels, so I need three spots.
My point is... I know that I took a picture and I tricked it a little bit because I took the right angle and the fire lane, no parking sign was to the right of your car, Rivs. But to me, that whole area right there is no parking because what if there's an emergency and the trucks have to get in and your big Suburban is parked right there?
What's the emergency, first of all?
Fire.
In the field house.
Do you know why that 15 feet, 20 feet of fence has no parking? Because it's a gate.
Yeah, it moves.
It gets into the practice field.
It doesn't say no parking.
If they didn't want me to park where I parked, they would have a sign there that says no parking, which I went and checked because I would not want to park. I would not want to park in an illegal spot.
There are two spots there. I'm one of them.
Right? Yes, there is.
Yeah, there is. There's two spots there.
You want me to go back and take a picture?
Yes, I do.
I would like you to leave the set and go outside and take a picture.
Go right now. Get to the point. Go right now and take a picture and come back. Well, I think we can hold down the fort, Marty.
No, we got to do to the point. So I got to be here for that.
Okay, do it in the C block then. All right, find out if Old Man River is in a parking spot.
We're in the B block.
In the C block, you're going to go outside, okay. And we'll even maybe send a live computer or a live camera out there with you. James can carry one out, and we can be like, we're here on location outside in the parking lot of One Bill's Drive. And as you can see, Old Man Rivet's, it's freezing out here. The snow's coming in sideways, guys.
But I'm going to pretend like I'm being shaken and do the media, the weatherman, like that's trying to sell the shot, right? It's really blowing hard right now as I'm laying sideways.
You got somebody underneath the camera, like pulling on your jacket. Yeah, like, oh, exactly. It's like, oh, it's really coming down out here, guys. I'm sacrificing my life to be out here to give you this live shot. All right, to the point, presented by Jim Stakeout. Here we go. JJ, it's not to the point presented by Buffalo Sports as you have in the rundown. That would be buy, sell, trade. It's Friday, okay? We know Thursday night you're out, but which was worse? Melnick calling Ian Mendez Bush League? Nice quick fix, JJ. Or Nicholson calling out Tobias Reeder? Now, if you're not familiar with what happened with Nicholson calling out Tobias Reeder, basically he said...
This was to a season ticket holder meeting.
Yes. Season ticket holder breakfast.
Breakfast.
So questions asked. And this is what Bob Nicholson's comments on Tobias Reeder. Toby Reeder will not be signed by the Edmonton Oilers at the end of this year, period. Toby Reeder was a player that other teams wanted. He came here for 1 year because he wanted to play with Leon Draisaitl, who he plays with on the German national team. He thought if he wasn't playing with Leon, he'd be playing with Connor. He'd score 15, 16 goals, and instead of making $2 million, he'd sign a four-year deal extension at $3.5 million. Toby Reeder hasn't scored a goal. This is true. In 60 games, he has 0 goals and 11 assists. Yeah. Toby Reeder has missed so many breakaways. That's actually false. He's only had 3, from what I understand. And if Toby Reeder would have scored 10 or 12 goals, we'd probably be in the playoffs. So there it is. The Oilers are out of the playoffs all because of Toby Reeder.
Okay.
So, to the point, which is worse? Melnick calling Ian Mendez on his own show, Bush League. Or Bob Nicholson, those comments about Toby Reeder?
Look, I'm going to say that Bob Nicholson is worse because I respect Bob Nicholson for what he's done over the years with Hockey Canada. And Eugene Melnick kind of got in an argument with Ian Mendez and just said, you're Bush League. And anyway, and the problem is with Nicholson is that last line, if Tobias Reeder had scored 10, 12 goals, we'd be in the playoffs. They would still be minus 25 in goal differential. There is no team right now that have a minus goal differential that are in the playoffs. So they needed Toby Reeder to score 35 goals for them to be at even, to even give themselves a chance to be in the playoffs. So it's not Reeder's fault.
River, this one's easy for me. Mr. Melnick has said so many bonehead things in the media that, you know, what you hear from him is just, it's like a comedy show. So moving on from him, I'm pretty disappointed with Bob Nicholson. I mean, he's a very, very polished hockey guy. You know, was the leader of Hockey Canada for so many years. He should know better. I mean, this is a colossal failure on his part. I don't know how he lost his composure in answering some of these questions and him going off on a player like Tobias Reeder. I mean, this is just terrible. I mean, this is very classless on their part. And I know that he's come out and he's apologized, but the damage is done.
Yes. Well, the reason he said those comments, and I think that's where public pressure comes into play. You know, we as media, fans, supporter of the team, the heads of the team, the owner, the general manager, president, whatever, they hear their comments. So you're sitting in front of your season ticket holder at a breakfast, and they're grilling you with questions. You want to please them, and you want to say, and comments like this will come out. And that's what the issue is you're in a position where you should not have to worry about public perception because you're trying to win, and you're trying to
This is very ahead. Easy. This is very easy before we move on. He just says, Toby Reeder's had a tough year. I'm sure Toby Reeder would have loved to have had, scored absolutely. Some goals. It's been frustrating for him. It's frustrating for the whole organization. That's all you got to say. You don't have to bring any of this up.
Yeah.
So
now,
anyway.
How did Toby Reeder's name come into contacts in the first place? Was one of the people asking about Tobias Reeder?
So sometimes Reeder? At these breakfasts, they'll ask questions. Season ticket holders will get to ask questions. And, Bob Nicholson's there to take on questions from season ticket holders and things like that. And
he was signed as a free agent, right? Toby
yeah,
Reeder?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It may have been as easy as, what's your plan with free agency this year? Last year you signed Toby Reeder and that didn't work.
He has 0 goals and 11 assists. Way to go.
Well, we can tell you, Toby Reeder will not be re-signed by the Oilers. Yeah. And he came in and he had a bunch of teams that wanted him, and that's how the conversation
Well, maybe
gets.
You have season ticket holders that are going like this, woo, now I'll rebuy then because your goal isn't to go and bring back a guy with 0 goals and 11 assists for $3 million.
Billy Leno.
There you go. Billy Leno. He went all year without scoring a goal, and he got one in a shootout, I think, and it didn't even count. okay, how important is winning on the way to the playoffs? Because as you can see, the Golden Knights are red hot. Some teams not as hot. But how important is winning on the way to the playoffs?
I think it makes a difference, to be honest with you. I think, you want to have, like, for an example, you have the San Jose Sharks. This has been one of the very best teams in the league all year long. They've got veteran leadership. They've got goal scoring. They've got defense. Got a nice goaltender. This is a team that has an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. That being said, they're in a 4-game slide, and they're not. When you're not playing well moving into the playoffs, it's tough just to turn on the light bulb. I mean, I think that it should be a gradual build into the playoffs. You want to make sure that you're playing well, because ultimately San Jose is going to be going up against a monster in Vegas who in their last 10 games are 9-1.
Is the McDavid-Drysdale combo the best hockey best? Oh, you didn't answer. Sorry, Marty. I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, man, we got to speed up. So I apologize. Marty, chime in, buddy.
Can we get 10 seconds just to answer? Last year, Washington finished the season 8-2. 3 years ago, Pittsburgh finished the season 8-2. Teams that finish season strong usually keep that switch on. They don't have to turn it off and on and off and on again. I'm not saying you have to go 10-0 in the last 10 games, but I do believe that being able to run into the playoffs as opposed to walking in the playoffs is better. The year I went to the conference finals with the Flyers, we finished the season, I think it was 8-1-1, to get into the playoffs, and we kept on rolling after that.
Yep. Is McDavid-Drysdale combo the best combo in hockey right now? Marty, we'll go back to you because I almost forgot you.
No. Anybody with Nikita Kucherov is the best combo in hockey right now, and it could be Point, it could be Stammer, it could be whatever. I do like Drysdale, McDavid, but I think for the Edmonton Oilers to be a team that will get in the playoffs and to have their way, those two would be on different lines anyway. But it's hard to overlook what Tampa has been able to do. It's hard to overlook like Backstrom and Ovechkin on the power play or, you know, whatever. I they're good, but
I don't know, you know what? It's nice that it's not that easy to answer. Riv, is the McDavid-Drysdale combo the best combo in hockey right now?
If you're talking about two, and if you're talking about two players, yes, they are the best in the world. Connor McDavid is the best in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Leon Draisaitl, there is no naysayers in his corner anymore. He is the real deal. 43 goals this year, 94 points. He will most likely get his first 100-point season. Connor McDavid is that good. Nikita Kucherov in Point. They are, standing right beside them, but I would go with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, yes.
All right, next topic on To The Point, presented by Jim's Steakout. Which playoff contender is most likely to fall off next season? Kind of similar to how the Ducks, Kings, Devils have this year.
Are we talking about teams that are in the playoffs right now? Because have to,
We can talk about teams that are in the playoffs. Like, which team next year could you see falling off and out of the playoffs?
I see San Jose falling off. They've already had an issue with their goaltending. Who knows what's going to happen with Erik Karlsson, Joe Pavelski. There is a lot of question marks in San Jose. And Joe Thornton getting to his age. So goaltending is the biggest question mark right now. You saw it last night. Martin Jones' terrible first goal gives the Kings a 1-0 lead, and that's it. So I'm saying San Jose is probably primed to be a good team now, falling off next year.
That is bold. That's an interesting call. I never in a million years would have thought San Jose. And Riv's kind of rolled his eyes too, but when you bring in all those factors, Marty, the Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Riv, which team could fall off?
It's very tough. You know what I look for when you're looking for teams that are going to fall off are teams that are basically aging. Teams that are, they have some players that are a little bit long in the tooth. And a lot of these teams seem to be somewhat younger. At some point, you know, the Boston Bruins and Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara are eventually going to fall off, but they've brought in these young guys, Charlie McAvoy and Pastrnak.
Jake DeBrusk.
I mean, all these teams are doing such a great job of having these older, high-end players, but they're really recycling all these younger players, and they're learning from these older players. I don't really even know. I would say maybe St. Louis would be a team that I would think might take a step in a different direction.
All right. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Revey, that was To The Point, presented by Jim Steakout. When we come back, Marty, you got a full load there for...
I may have to just go out and pick on people on Twitter that are coming at me for posting that picture. Maybe the this or that segment will be, that's the response to some of the insults I'm getting right now.
That picture is everything that we stand for around here, and I love it. Don't ever change. We'll be right back. Just go find out if Riv is really in a spot, though. Do the man a favor.
Bush League. I just went out and checked.
Bush League. Bush League. All right. Darren Dreger coming up at 11:32. Dis or Dad after this.
Welcome back to the Instigators. As we just make our way back from outside, we had to
That's not Snowflake.
It's cold.
That's not Snowflake.
It's not Snowflake?
Big Bear Bald Head.
If you haven't looked outside this morning and you are in Western New York, Buffalo, especially in the South Towns, it is snowing. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. It is late March and I want to go golfing. But it is not time to golf right now. It's time for this or that. And I've got a couple of them right now, and we can spend some time on them, PD. The Montreal Canadiens are hosting the Sabres tomorrow night. The Sabres are going to fly out this afternoon to get to Montreal. They're going to go for dinner. But I'm asking you this. Marquee food in Montreal are the hot dog or the smoked meat sandwiches.
3A, 4 a.m. That. Poutine.
No, I'm not asking you about poutine. Oh. I'm asking you about a sandwich. Hot dogs or smoked meat sandwich?
This hot dogs. Hot dogs. Better than the Montreal smoked meat. Why are you looking at me like that? By the way, for everyone out there, parking violation talk at 11.
Okay, perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
Mate, we'll see.
You know what?
Riv just attacked me in the bathroom,
okay, but
too.
That's...
hot dogs. The Montreal form hot dogs.
What do you put in your hot dogs?
Mustard ketchup.
Mustard ketchup?
Onion if it's available.
Like,
I've got
like
to do a pickle
onion
these days.
Or like raw onion?
Either or. Whatever's available.
Cooked onion.
Sometimes tomato.
Relish?
No. Pickle.
Pickle?
If it's dill relish, yes. But it can't be that sweet relish garbage.
Oh, I'm so hungry right now. How about a little slice of cheese in there, too?
I've done that before.
Cheddar. Can't be cheese slices. It has to be like sharp cheddar.
Oh, I used to do the Kraft singles and just fold them into pieces and put them inside the hot dog.
Back
hot
when
dog
you were a teenager and you microwaved them, yeah.
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 We're adults meat, now. Smoked meat sandwich or hot dogs in Montreal?
I'm going to go with the poutine.
I said.
Smoked meat poutine. Not, smoked meat poutine.
You know what? I'm going to tell
you. We are not going to debate if a hot dog is a sandwich or not, but I'm sticking with bread and something.
What's the smoked meat place in Montreal there?
Oh, there's many of them.
No. There's one legendary.
Montreal bar. Smoked meat?
Right up from St. Catharines.
Don't
on Delamontagne.
Delamontagne.
Oh, man. I'm going to.
I like how you say it.
Both are absolutely fantastic, but I'm going to have to go with the legendary Chez Chaud's from.
Hot from dog Chez Chaud.
Yep. Did I just pour your water into my drink? Was that yours right here?
It doesn't matter. No. It's water.
No, it's his mouth.
Listen, I've had so many hot dogs, and you can get hot dogs anywhere. Here in Buffalo, Salins, fantastic. Will you go to Montreal, just venture out a little bit and have a smoked meat and sandwich, and it's the rye bread, and it's the mustard on it, and it's like soft, and it's hot pastrami,
right? Did you ever hit the greasy spoon right beside the old form?
No.
All right, forget it.
I didn't grow up in Montreal, so I don't know. If you ask about places in Quebec City, I'd tell you all the good spots.
I hit that place at 5 o'clock every morning.
Every morning, huh?
Yeah.
That's when you were waking up, or that's when you were going to bed?
That's when I was on my way home.
On your way home. Sounds good. Talking about a guy that's going on his way home at 5 o'clock in the morning, probably single at the time, hopefully, Cam Newton just said he's given up sex for a month. He wants to focus and stay
good for him.
Mentally.
Moving on.
So I'm asking you this. This or that?
So what are you saying? He got married?
Why do you have to say things like that? There's people out there. They're just about to get married. They're looking forward to it. It's fantastic. Okay.
Don't do it.
No sex for a month or no drinking for a year? This or that?
No sex for a month. 100%.
You would pick the no sex for a month?
1,000%.
No drinking for a year, too hard for you?
No drinking for a month, no sex for a year, I'd still pick...
Petey, you don't drink anymore.
I don't drink, but I mean, even when I did drink, I would still I'd give up drinking. Yeah. Absolutely. What? What's wrong with you?
You're like Rico Suave, though.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not really what it's about. I'm just saying, sometimes with one came the other. I mean, you know, the two kind of go together sometimes. You know what I mean?
What,
Marty?
If I told you,
next topic,
PD, you will score a goal when you played, okay?
I will go 10 seasons with zero goals. I will go 10 seasons Tobias Ryder than giving up.
Let me tell you this. You'll score a goal every game in a month where you have no sex, or you will score a goal every game in a year where you don't drink. Oh, now there's a balance.
Wait,
there.
Say that again?
For a whole month, you will score a goal every game you play as long as you don't have sex. In a whole year, you will score a goal every game you play as long as you don't drink.
Well, here's the problem. Are we talking about Andrew Peters, the player that I was? Because I was never in the lineup anyway, so why the hell would I give anything up for goals?
No, but because now you're going to score.
I either am going to score on or off the ice. No, Marty, I
would still much rather
hockey's
score, like,
just a game.
You'd much rather score 10 goals in 1 month than 100, well, maybe not 100 goals, 50 goals in a year?
Well, you think about the person that I would be and how much money I'd be making after 50 goals. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll take the 50 snipes any day
of the
week.
Okay, so you would pass
any month of the year.
You would pass on the, you would do the Cam Newton.
For 50 goals, sure.
You would
only
stay
for
away
50
from
goals, though, as long as we're clear on that. I get 50 in the deal.
Yeah, you get 50 for a year.
Okay.
Okay. Rivs, you still?
Screw it. I'll block the shots and keep the pucks out of the net.
Rivs.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So, Rivs, we were at the wine event the other night.
Yes.
And you're walking around, you're enjoying a little drink here and there. He's the first person that was so excited about the bourbon. We're at a wine event, and you're talking about the bourbon.
That's because I tried everything else. I was looking for something.
You're just like, you were just loving the fact that there was a bourbon table. And
there's a lot of good stuff there, yeah.
Your mood changed from start to finish. You showed up there miserable. You left there the happiest guy in the world.
I just love everybody right now.
Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, PD's update.
Is that it for Diss or Dat?
It's 11:01. We're late for the break. You got to do your updates.
Parking violation coming up.
No.
Oh.
A late day today.
Find out if Craig Revate is in a parking spot or
this or
is
that
not.
Is and he just, or is he not?
He just chewed me out in the bathroom, so I can't wait to share this dialogue with you either. We'll be right back. This is your out, Marty.
No. We're coming back on, I'll do the Duffer out. WGR Sports Radio 550 or MSG.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!